Reading the story of Zacchaeus from Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 31-19:10. Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Some journeys in life are chosen. Some are inevitable. Once your alarm clock goes off in the morning, there's often an inevitability as to how your day will go. A routine, a ritual. You know the things that you're going to have to do: eat, work, live. We feel that we have no choice in doing these things. But then, occasionally, usually very occasionally, we have those days when we don't need to set the alarm, when we don't have to give in to the inevitability of doing what we always do. Those days when life can maybe take a different direction. Those days when you can go off-piste, when we can choose a different map to follow, when we can go on a different sort of journey. At the beginning of our reading, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them that they were going up to Jerusalem. This was the last leg. Jesus was going to Jerusalem for the last time, and he will suffer and he will die when he gets there. But the journey to Jerusalem will not be like a solemn march, like a funeral procession. It will be a continuation of the journey that Jesus began when he emerged from the wilderness and announced, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Jesus had a mission, and that mission carried on even in the face of his looming suffering and death, because his looming suffering and death was at the heart of his mission. Jesus' journey is inevitable, purposeful, and chosen. As Jesus journeyed to Jerusalem, one of the routes that people took from Galilee to the city went through the region of Perea, along the eastern side of the River Jordan, and crossed the river at the city of Jericho. And Jericho was a popular stopping place for pilgrims on the way to Jerusalem. It was 20 miles from the city, a good resting point before they faced the 1,000-meter climb up Mount Zion. And it is at Jericho that Jesus meets two people. Two people who have been excluded for different reasons from being part of the community and religious life of the day. Two people who are in need of God's favour in their life. And these two people choose on this day to have a different journey in their lives. They choose not to do what they normally did. The first person who encounters Jesus is someone whom Jesus meets as he enters Jericho. A blind man begging by the side of the road. In Matthew and Mark's gospel, Jesus meets the blind man as he leaves Jericho. In Mark's gospel, he is named Bartimaeus. But here in Luke, he is unnamed and waiting as Jesus arrives. A blind person in the first century Jewish culture would have been marginalized and stigmatized. His blindness would have been seen as a curse from God. He would have been unable to fully participate in the religious life of the time. But sitting by the side of the road, he would have heard all the gossip from travelers. And even though Jesus was a common name at the time, news of Jesus of Nazareth would have reached his ears. So when he hears of this Jesus from up north that is approaching, he cries out to him, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." The man may be blind, but the realized promise of God revealed in the person of Jesus is seen more clearly than by virtually anyone else. The crowd tries to silence him, thinking he's just another attention-seeking beggar. But it's not money that's motivating him, but desperation. And so he cries out again, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stops and orders the man brought to him. And you can imagine the crowd silencing at this point. The need of the man is obvious. But for Jesus, people aren't problems to be solved, but individuals to be honoured. And so Jesus asks him what he wants. The blind man will have wanted only one thing for so long. Not money, not possessions or power, but just to see. Nothing extraordinary, just what others would have considered ordinary. So he simply says, "I want to see." And Jesus, fulfilling some of those words from Luke chapter 4, brings sight to the blind. And after healing him, Jesus says, "Go, your faith has healed you." With the word healed meaning saved in Greek. And that's what the blind man was from that moment on. No more being relegated to begging by the side of the road. He could re-enter the full life of community. But instead of going off and enjoying the high life, the blind man instead chooses to take up the road with Jesus and follow him. Becomes a disciple. He receives his sight and sees that Jesus is the one to follow.
Amen.
Things move on, and Jesus is now in the heart of Jericho, and there is someone else who really wants to see him. This man, Zacchaeus, who no one else likes. People at the time would have considered a tax collector on the par with a murderer or a robber. He is feared and reviled in equal measure. Zacchaeus, though, is determined to catch a sight of the famous rabbi, so he takes a risk to do so. He takes the initiative, and he does something dangerous. Being this man of small stature, he climbs a sycamore fig tree so he can look down on Jesus as he passes. But as he looks down from the tree, he finds that Jesus is actually looking for him. And Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' home. Jesus does not the done thing. And it's always the host who would extend the invitation in Jewish society, but Jesus reverses the expectation and invites himself. And once at Zacchaeus' home, the original chattering classes begin muttering and grumbling that Jesus is eating with the house of such a sinful person. But Jesus has already extended grace, and Zacchaeus shows the response of a changed heart. And he offers to give half his possessions to the poor and repay four times the amount he's defrauded. And it's not a precondition of Jesus' acceptance, but it's the result of Jesus' grace. Jesus takes up residence with Zacchaeus, and a transformation occurs. Throughout Jesus' ministry in Luke's Gospel, Jesus had been seen as the friend of the poor and the outcast. But here he comes as the redeemer of the rich and the oppressor. Today salvation has come to this house. And Zacchaeus and the blind man are representatives of the sheep that are lost. They are the ones who Jesus scandalously abandons the 99 to save, for Jesus came to seek and save the lost. The blind man and Zacchaeus' encounters with Jesus were completely transformative for them. They began their day as one person, and they ended the day as someone else. Their normal daily routine went out the window, and it's because they chose to go in a different direction. The blind man could have kept silent by the side of the road, and Jesus could have just walked past. But instead, he chose to forget about his despised state and let his voice rise above the crowd and call out to Jesus. He chose to get Jesus' attention, and the result was he was healed and became a disciple. Zacchaeus went searching for Jesus. He could have been content with his wealth and his power and the fear he induced in others, but no, he made himself vulnerable. Entered the crowd, climbed a tree, waited for Jesus. He put himself in the right place. And even though he may not have realized it, Jesus was already looking for him. He experienced grace, and his life was changed. The blind man and Zacchaeus put themselves in the right place, and they found Jesus was waiting. More than that, they found he was searching them out. The relentless heart of God is continually searching out for humans that have taken steps to find a connection with him. It is true for those who are seeking to meet God in Christ for the first time, as the blind man and Zacchaeus were. Jesus is still the one who is seeking out the lost, the shepherd looking out for the lost sheep. Jesus is the one there offering grace before we know we need it. Jesus has already done all that we need to be saved. He's just waiting there for us to discover the wonder of a new life in him. God's already taken the initiative through Jesus' death and resurrection. We just need to choose to take that new journey with him, to break out from that which is our normal daily routine, and instead embark on a journey through life with the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of the universe. We choose this new life, and we find that we have been chosen by God. But then there is the wonder of knowing the grace of and choosing to live in that grace. every day as disciples of Jesus. Living as a Christian after you've made that first decision doesn't mean that it is inevitable that you will have all of life sorted. It isn't assured that you're going to have the perfect prayer life. Doesn't mean that you'll find reading the Bible easy. Doesn't mean you'll have control of all of your emotions. Doesn't mean that you won't find sermons boring. It isn't like waking up and having a pattern of your day laid out before you. You won't inevitably follow Jesus. You need to choose to follow Jesus each day. You need to choose the way of grace each day. Like the blind man, we need to constantly see that Jesus is the one we want to follow in our lives. We're so easily distracted by bright and shiny things, and our followership can be attracted to all sorts of other things apart from Jesus. We can follow the money. We can follow our church leaders. We can follow the Bible, but not Jesus in the Bible. We can follow our tradition, we can follow our cultural norms, we can follow our heart's desire, we can follow our fellow Christians. But if a blind man can see that Jesus is the one to follow, if a man whose life is so absorbed by money can see that Jesus is the one to follow, maybe we need to put our heads up and look at Jesus a bit more as Christians and make sure we choose to follow him day by day. As the writer to the Hebrews says, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, nothing else. When I was travelling back from Northumberland last week, it was during Storm Babette, and there were lots of accidents happening on the roads, and my sat-nav gives me real-time updates and where the accidents occur, and it offers me alternative routes as I was going along to save time. And I had a choice to make, whether to follow this alternative route or to stick upon the course that I knew I was going to be taking. And it looks okay at that point when you're offered that choice. Doesn't look like there's a problem ahead. Or I could trust this AI system that's telling me that some point ahead the road is blocked and I'm going to be stuck there for an hour. Do I take the diversion or not? It's a choice. I chose to take the diversion and I saw all the sights of Pontefract. And I didn't get stopped for more than a couple of moments. Came out onto the road the other side of this incident, never knowing how serious it was or how long I would have been held up or not. It took an exercise in faith to do that. I ended up going down a few back streets and windy lanes through some large puddles, but I got where I needed to go. Choosing to follow Jesus, keeping your eyes fixed upon him, will not always seem the most obvious way forward in your life. It may involve taking some risks. It may involve us taking the initiative, breaking out of our daily routine and choosing to do something different. It may involve going in strange directions. It will take more trust than you give to a sat-nav. But Jesus is worth more trust. We have a choice of a journey that we can make each day as followers of Jesus. We can choose the path where Jesus leads us. And if we do this, we will be putting ourselves in the best place each day to know and grow in God. But it's a choice we need to make. If we've experienced a transformative encounter with Jesus in our lives, if we've come to know the grace of God, if we have been called out of the crowd, if we have climbed a tree and found Jesus looking for us, we will know that we can trust in the direction that Jesus is calling us to live in. However different it may appear to the way that we would have chosen to live, we can trust the way of Jesus. We don't know what the future held for the blind man and Zacchaeus. But they made that important first step with Jesus. And it's a first step that we can all make, not just once, but every morning when we wake up. We choose to live following Jesus each day. When we look to Jesus, we will find Jesus looking to us, and he will lead us into fullness of life. Let's pray. Jesus, the way. Help us to follow you each and every day. Amen.